I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
What's up, Undisputed listeners? It's your boy, Shay Sharp. I wanted to tell you about my new podcast, Club Shay Shay, where we always do something before two something. Each week, I sit down with a guest for a drink and conversation, and as host and proprietor of Club Shay Shay, I welcome in esteemed guests such as Snoop Dogg, Floyd Money Mayweather, LeVar Ball, Isaiah Thomas, just to mention a few. Whether I'm talking to an athlete, a musician, an actor, or a lifelong friend, Club Shay Shay is a place where people share inspiring and motivational stories about their journeys to prominence. The new episode drops every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to Club Shay Shay now and make sure you never miss a new episode. Now back to Undisputed.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
I don't know about you guys, I couldn't get enough of this yesterday. Tom Brady clearly isn't afraid to have a good time celebrating his seventh Super Bowl win. And during the Buccaneers boat parade, Brady got confident enough to toss the Lombardi Trophy from his boat across to another that had Rob Gronkowski and Cameron Brate on it. Thankfully, the trophy was caught by Brate, who called it the best catch of his life. Several other posts showed Brady partying, letting loose all day, even getting just a little help walking at one point. Shannon, what did you think of Brady's day?
Clearly, he let his hair down on that one, Skip. And I'm surprised that he let himself go like this in public. Now, behind the scenes, Skip, if you know, they have the ring celebration or, you know, with teammates or things like that. Yep. But I'm a little surprised that he let himself get out there like this in the public. Yep. Now, he showed up with the big flex. Yep. He pulled up in a $2.5 million boat, had a police escort. I said, okay, that's how you make an entrance. Yep. That's how you let them know I'm Tom Mofo Brady, this is how I do it. Yep. So he pulled up. I was like, okay, look at Tom. The police escort, Skip, the yacht, which is very fitting. Tampa, Miami, it's very fitting that you have a yacht. Mm-hmm. But I was surprised that Tom let his hair down to this extent publicly. Now, I was hoping when he threw the trophy, Skip, it went into the water because I wanted to see who was going in after. That's what I wanted to see, Skip. My money's on Gronk. I'm laying plus $2,500 on Gronk to go get that trophy out the water.
It's a heavy trophy.
I think Gronk can go do it. I think Gronk going to get that trophy.
I'm assuming the Hillsborough River is pretty deep at that point.
Yeah, of course.
So I'm not sure Gronk's going to go to the bottom of the river, into the murky bottom of the river, looking for that without scuba gear.
My money's on Gronk. Gronk will hit the water and go come back up with that trophy.
I can't believe it. Mm.
So for me, Skip, yes, I'm not surprised that Tom is extremely happy, Skip. You know what he did? He left an organization that didn't believe in him anymore. Yep. Mm-hmm. And he won a championship without the umbrella of the Patriot way, without Coach Belichick.
Yeah.
So he's feeling really, really good. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many people thought he was going to feel this good publicly. Golly gee whiz, Tom. Yeah, guys, you know what? Hey, had a great time in New England. I still have a lot of friends there. I'm very fond of the people in New England. Mm-hmm. He's saying all those things. But deep down inside, we know human nature tells us when someone bets against us and we bet on ourselves and we win, we feel really good, even though we might not verbalize that publicly.
Yeah.
Well, his celebration lets me know, Skip, he didn't feel good. He feels great.
Great.
And so the only thing that I'm glad I'm glad because I'm glad that Tom showed that side of him instead of always being buttoned up and always being guarded. But I am surprised that he let himself get to this extent publicly.
Mm. Okay, what I'm about to say about the Lombardi toss is serious, straight from the heart. That was the greatest clutch throw of Tom Brady's career. And I spoke all week long, a week ago, about how Tom's just the clutchest performer in the history of sports because he's done it so many times on so many big Super Bowl stages. Obviously, he had six game-winning drives in fourth quarter and overtime to win six rings going into Sunday. And then they didn't even need a fourth quarter drive because it was a second quarter drive that won the game in the beatdown of Kansas City.
Well, Skip, not to cut you off, but I'm glad they didn't throw it back to Tom because I don't know if he was going to catch it like they caught it.
No, that's a fact. So the point about Tom's clutchness has always been to me, and I wrote about this for FoxSports.com, is that he's long-term clutch. He's long drive clutch, but he didn't have any signature moment. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have any walk-off clutch throws.
Right.
Where you say, boy, I remember that one.
Right.
I can't remember a single throw of Tom's career where I say, God, remember when he did that? Maybe I'll remember the Scotty Miller throw into
the
half
Green Bay.
At Green Bay. But still, it was to little Scotty Miller. Mm-hmm. It's like the lone ball that you throw to Scotty Miller.
But like you said, it's at the end of the half.
Yeah.
Now, that was at the end of the to win the game. Now, that's a walk-off.
That's a walk-off. For me, this was the equivalent of a walk-off. And I'm serious. I'm not exaggerating. That is a throw. That was hard to do. Now, again, was it alcohol-fueled? Probably. Did he have a little more confidence and courage because he'd had a couple too many to drink? Maybe. Yeah. But it's such a long throw from boat to boat. And you've lifted that trophy,
yeah,
right?
It's heavy.
It's heavy.
Yeah.
And for him to sort of weigh this moment and say, I think I can do this. It's a long throw.
Yeah.
He's not the strongest guy. He's not a weight room warrior. You know, he's more pliability, right?
Yeah.
And so, and he's got a little above average arm, but he's never had a cannon. And this is more of a body throw. This is a core throw, right?
Yeah. Yes.
This is where you have to twist into, it's like hitting a golf ball where you got to hit it with your core. You got to twist into the tee shot. And for him to twist into this and get enough on the trophy to get it airborne and keep it airborne from boat to boat, it had high probability of winding up in the bottom of the river. Because it's one thing to throw it that far. It's yet another thing to get it deep enough into the other boat that they don't drop it in the river. Because if you just get it to the edge, they're going to fumble it into the river.
That trophy probably weighs about 7-8 pounds, I'm thinking.
Okay, I'm going to guess more than that.
Yeah, well, it's heavy, Skip, and the edge is kind of sharp on the bottom.
Yeah.
You know, anything with a bottom,
it's hard
sharp
to catch. Edge.
Yeah, so I'm surprised. Look,
okay,
if Gronk had thrown his Skip, it would not have surprised me. If Gronk would have done anything, if Gronk would have just tucked it and thrown it in the water, I wouldn't have been surprised, considering he used it as a bat.
I got it.
At Fenway. But Brady to do that.
Okay, and he gets it up high enough and deep enough that it's like a Hail Mary, like the one he threw to Gronk that Gronk couldn't come down with in the second Philly Super Bowl. And Cameron Brate rises above the crowd to snag it.
Yeah.
And Cameron Brate said he was scared to death, like he was afraid he was going to drop it. Like it was, for him, it was the clutchest catch he's ever made.
Glad he caught it because he probably would have had a busted up face or a couple of teeth missing.
Yeah.
Because that thing hit you, Skip, it's going
to
hurt.
Okay. Now, to the second half of this, we obviously saw him, the whole video of him stumbling home. Okay. I scanned the Drunk Brady Twitter thread that was all day long, all afternoon long. It sounds like Jenny was all over it also.
Yeah.
And couldn't look away.
It was the first time ever that I saw comment after comment after comment from Brady haters saying, I can't help but love this.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was the most endearing moment of this guy's, what are we up to, 20-year career as a starter, 21 years as a player.
Yeah.
Because most people can't stand him because he's just too boringly good. He just keeps on keeping on, but he's not Mahomes. There's no no-looks. There's no behind-the-backs. There's no left-handed pass.
You know why they love this, Skip?
Yeah.
Because for the first time, he made himself human.
He made himself incredibly vulnerable and human and relatable. Tom Brady was actually relatable yesterday.
Everybody said the exact same thing. But if I wasn't that bad, I'm getting towed up.
Okay, well, he was. And he needs assistance on both sides to get to the car.
To stand up.
Right? to get free. And to your point, I believe it was the happiest football day of his life.
I believe so,
I mean,
too.
Obviously, Sunday night was a big deal.
Right.
But this is where you've had time to let it sink in.
Right.
You've sort of slept for a while so that you're back to
he ain't
normal.
Yeah,
well,
he ain't
I don't know.
Yet.
Well, he had to sleep one of the nights, maybe last
night. No.
Night
yeah,
before.
Well, yeah, he slept last night. He brought a hug over this morning.
Okay.
But he ain't sleep Sunday night, Skip.
Not Sunday night,
no.
but maybe Monday or Tuesday. But my point is, now it's sunk in.
Right.
Now he sits back and says, God, look what I just did.
Right.
I stuck it to that guy who stuck it to me in New England.
Mm-hmm.
And it was huge for him because he pulled this thing off with a bunch of guys that he really likes.
Yes.
He really had fun playing football. He has fun playing for that coach, even though that coach was ridiculously hard on him in post-game comments. I think they made peace with that in their bye week, and then I didn't hear any more of that. And all they did after their bye week was win 8 straight games. They went 8-0 out of the bye, okay? And he pulled off something with a 7-9 team in a pandemic with no preseason. That's what he's. That's why the depth of achievement it just got to him yesterday, and he finally let go.
I think the person that we saw yesterday, that Tom is more like the person we saw yesterday than he is after he won the 6 in New England. Now, I'm not saying he's all the way that, but I'm saying he's closer to that.
Mm-hmm.
And when B.A., when people say he's more of himself, he seems more happy,
means
allows guys to have show their personality. Coach Belichick, everybody is one and the same, with the exception of Gronk. Gronk was really allowed to show his personality, Skip, but the other guys that's come through there, they say the same thing, this, and this. I believe, and I agree with you, I believe Tom, all of them special.
Sure.
But I think this one. The significance of it.
Yep.
It's not the Patriot way.
Mm.
It's not Coach Belichick. It's not, he's a systems guy. I am the system.
Mm-hmm.
You can have any systems you want, but you better have somebody that can program it. You better have somebody that can understand it and can code it.
Yep.
That's him.
Yep. So in the previous 6 celebrations, the parade celebrations in Boston, Brady wasn't front and center.
He just waves,
there's nothing going on, nothing to say. He's not throwing Lombardi trophies from duck boat to duck boat in downtown
Boston. And that's what happens, Kim. See, there's a difference when it's 80 and sunny and you're on the water as opposed to 20 and snow on the ground in Boston.
Very good point, which he's well aware of.
Yes.
He and his family, according to all the reports, they love it there.
And they say, I ain't never going back.
I mean, here we are in February, and they're all out there in shorts and T-shirts.
Right.
That's pretty cool.
I'll go back when they put me in the Ring of Honor, they retire my jersey, and they put me stuff like that, to the reunions. He's going to be going to a reunion every year because they're about to have, skip where they start having the 5 and 10 and 15, 20-year reunion.
Yep.
Tom is going to be going to a reunion like, damn, I just saw you guys last year.
Yep.
Yeah, we're going to see you again.
So the shock to me was Tom Brady won Super Bowl MVP, and then he won Parade Day MVP.
Yeah.
He won.
The upstage Gronk in a celebration.
It does.
But he upstage Gronk.
Or even, as we're about to discuss, Bruce Arians with a microphone in his hand. It's hard to upstage him.
And Bruce had a few with him, too.
I think he often does.
Everyone was feeling it, feeling good, feeling confident. And you know what? Good for Tom. And you guys said it best. He was relatable yesterday. And it was almost refreshing to see in a lot of ways. And that's hard to do after a fun day. Guys, obviously his teammates, though, were enjoying themselves because the Super Bowl win has given the Buccaneers all the confidence in the world during their victory parade. Devin White, JPP, Shaq Barrett, and what seemed like every other member of the team took the mic to say that they're going to repeat as champions. Even the guys at top couldn't help themselves with GM Jason Light saying, quote, we're going to bleep and win this thing again. And then Bruce Arians also didn't hold back. Take a listen.
Everybody says running back. All right, that's Tennessee. We're going for 2. We're going to keep this band together, and they know how to win.
Shannon, you have a problem with any of this?
I don't have a problem with it, Skip, no. That's what you said, these things. Skip, I've never heard anybody say, we good with 1. We ain't trying to get back here. Everybody says that we're going to repeat because they know ultimately that's how you're judged. There have been a lot of teams that's won 1 in a row.
Yep.
Mike Shanahan told us the very first time after we won, we came in there for that first meeting. He said, if you want to be special, you got to repeat.
Well, sure. Okay.
So,
all right. But he said that to you. He right, didn't say right. it to
no,
us.
No, no, no. We didn't do it. And Skip, if you think about it, you never saw any of that in New England.
Yep.
They won 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, mm-hmm. and they didn't say nothing about no next year.
Nothing.
So, I that's the difference when the expectations, because they got this, there were some expectations, but I don't think anybody expected them to reach the pinnacle so soon.
Yep.
And so everybody's feeling good. Oh, we bringing everybody back. Skip it, I thought the exact same thing. Man, I'm looking around like, man, if we get Zim to come back, you know, we get this one to come back, you a free agent. He go, it's never going to be the same. Mm. Unfortunately for them, all the coaching vacancies look like they're filled, so they're not going to lose Byron Leftwich, or they're not going to lose a Todd Bowles. They're not going to lose anybody off their staff, so the staff is going to come back
yep.
intact.
Good point.
But they do have some free agencies. They have Shaq Barrett. Somebody's going to throw $100 million at Shaq Barrett. It's going to be hard to walk away considering, Skip, I was an undrafted free agent, and for the first four or five years of my career, I didn't even make $1 million a year. Now, he may got a big payday last year, that franchise tag, but somebody's going to give him an opportunity to have generational wealth. I don't know if he turns that down. I don't believe he does. Chris Godwin, somebody's going to throw a boatload of money at him because he was a number two, and a lot of teams are going to believe that he can be a number one. So they're going to pay him number one money, somewhere averaging probably around $15 to $17 million a year.
Yeah.
I don't know if he turns that down. Mm. But the greatest equalizer, one of the greatest things that will come into play while you don't repeat
yep.
is what happened to Kansas City. Mm. You lose four left offensive starters. Skip, remember, early in the season, Osimile was lost. And he was playing outstanding.
Good player.
So you lose Osimile. You yep. lose Fisher. You lose Schwartz. You lose one of your guards before the season because he opts out mm-hmm. to do COVID in his native Canada. So basically, you're down four starting offensive linemen.
Okay. It happens.
Injuries.
Yep.
And that's the thing that you're going to have to guard against. You're going to lose some of your free agents, but injuries is the number one reason why I believe, Skip. Yeah, and obviously you have some complacency, but I believe injury is the number one key to okay. why teams don't repeat.
All right. My turn. You have won 3 Super Bowls in 3 tries, mm-hmm. so you do know what of you speak. I've covered many, many Super Bowl winners, and I've been sort of inside the reaction to Super Bowls. In all my years covering the National Football League, I have never, ever witnessed, this time from a distance, a more outrageously outspoken guarantee of a reaction as these guys gave us yesterday. They were guaranteeing they're going to come back and win a second one. I'm sorry, it just took me aback for a while because it went all the way up to the general manager just saying, we're going to effing win this thing again. That's a strong statement right. from an executive.
Yeah.
You just don't get them. Mm-hmm. And remember, I was around those 90s Cowboy dynasty teams led by Michael Irvin, who can get as full of himself as anybody who ever played the game of football. I never got any of this.
No.
They broke through a year early because of the Charles Haley trade, so they had the catalyst that got them over the hump, past the 49ers, mm-hmm. big upset at Candlestick
right.
to get them to a Buffalo team that was overmatched against them in the Super Bowl, right. and it was a wipeout. I got none of this.
Right.
I think they were just kind of shocked by,
right.
we did this? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jimmy kept telling, you're good enough to do this. Okay. But nobody said, We're going to do this again next year. But they did do it again next
right.
year. And then they didn't say boo about doing it a third
right.
year. No one had ever won 3 in a row. But nobody talked like this. I've never heard anything like this. And then we even get to the head coach. Obviously, he'd had a couple. And he's obviously outspoken to start with. But for him just to go off on the Chiefs
yeah.
with the microphone in his hand, he says, anybody that says run it back, which is what the Chiefs kept
right.
saying is their second time
right.
around, he said, you know what? But he said, BS. That was Kansas City's BS. We're just going for 2. And he acted like it's just a done deal. We're
right.
going to do it. We're a band of brothers. We're all coming back. Well, money talks as opposed to the coach speaking.
Exactly.
But that's what he said. And then of the Chiefs, he said, we physically kicked their ass. Well, they did.
Yeah.
That was a nasty butt kicking
yeah.
to me
yeah.
because that defense, once it gets cranked, thanks to Todd Bowles.
Well, they beat their offense up too. They beat their Bucks offense beat Kansas City's defense.
Leonard Fournette just beasted them.
Yes.
Okay, I got it. The offensive line just stood them up and stood them off. Okay.
Yep.
So the point is, usually I'd be horrified by this kind of talk, but as I watched it yesterday unfold, it rang true to me. It's like they believe it with all their might. They believe they're coming back and win it again. Are they a little naive? Well, why do they believe it? Because they have the GOAT at quarterback who's playing better than ever going on 44. Mm-hmm. So they're thinking, we got that guy. Mm-hmm. He's a Super Bowl MVP. Yep. So that's why you're empowered. You get a little too full of yourself because you're speaking from a position of strength.
But Skip, because they've never been in there, Tom has been in there. Oh. They don't know how hard it's going to be. Yeah.
Now you got the target and all that.
Everybody's Super Bowl.
Sure.
Everybody measures them by what they do against you.
Okay. But the reason I didn't have a problem with it was it didn't ring like false bravado. It didn't come off as fake tough guy talk. It sounded like a bunch of tough guys saying, we're just going to do this again.
Oh, Skip. You don't think when Kansas City had their parade, they didn't think they were going to run it back?
Well, I'm sure they did. Different, though. The feeling was different. They just had kind of like this supreme confidence, like, we're just more gifted than you are. We got Tyreek. We obviously got Kelce. And we got the best quarterback who ever threw the football.
I think the thing is, they didn't think they were going to go besieged with the injuries to the offensive line like they got.
Well, obviously, and that's the great leveler, and it can happen to this team.
Right.
But we have seen teams win two in a row. And
Skip, there's a reason why it hadn't been done in 16, 17 years now. Because
three.
It's hard.
Oh, two in a row.
Yes.
Well, three in a row is never.
It's never been done. Yeah.
Right.
Like I said, the 49ers, they won 88-89, and then they lost in the championship game by three to the Giants when Roger Craig fumbled and LT recovered. They kicked the field goal.
Mm-hmm.
Because, Skip, there's a reason teams don't repeat. It's hard.
Okay. But what did the quarterback say pre-Super Bowl? Tom Brady said last week, very matter-of-factly, we will be better next year. Mm-hmm. Well, what is he talking about? He's talking about
continuity and familiarity,
right?
Yes.
Because they had to just throw it together on the fly with no preseason.
Right.
They had to figure it out in week 13's bye week, came the latest of any team's bye week. They had to figure it out.
Right.
Oh, this works, but that doesn't work. And somehow they got on a miraculous late season roll and won their last eight games.
Right.
Well, he's saying, gee, give me a chance. And do you think Tom will work any less in this offseason than he worked? No, he'll be right out there just as driven as ever.
But Skip, that's the thing. You had COVID and you had their best running back opting out. You mm-hmm. had one of their better offensive linemen opting mm-hmm. out. You had the offensive line getting besieged by injuries. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm talking about. See, you're
for
talking
Kansas
about
City.
Yeah, you're talking. Tampa's talking about, okay, we're coming back and everything. We're not going to have any because they really didn't lose anybody with significant injury for any length of time. Mm-hmm. I think Devin White, Skip, he missed the game. Maybe the first game of the playoffs with the COVID protocol. Well, he missed the last game. I think he came back for mm-hmm. COVID for protocols.
Yes.
But for the most part, Skip, they missed. I think they had a guard that was out for maybe 2 weeks.
No, well, Alex Kappa, no, he was lost.
Marpet was out for a game or two also.
Marpet was, but Kappa got hurt against Washington in the first playoff game, and he was gone for the rest of the year.
But when
they're playing with their backup left guard.
Right. So when you start, your offensive line and you lose a tackle, you lose Tristan Wirfs, who graded the highest.
No, he did.
Dude graded up all those snaps. He gave up one snap the entire season.
All right. But as little Scotty Miller said yesterday, he thinks that they have the best group of receivers in the league. Well, again, you can go depth. He's talking about there are just too many of us. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll give you the depth of them. I will not give you Tyreek and Kelce because they're just better.
Right.
Those two are better than anybody Tampa has.
Right.
But if we just go 1 through 8,
that's
a lot of, again, they could lose Chris Godwin, which has got potential.
Yes.
And be okay because they signed AB.
Right.
And remember, Scotty Miller and Tyler Johnson, who had big catches during the year, they had Scotty had no targets in the Super Bowl, and Tyler Johnson had one that zoomed right by his hands, and he wasn't looking. That was the end of him.
Right.
Okay? You don't think they're going to be factors next year because they're young players.
Yeah, they might not have the choice but to be factors because you lose Chris Godwin. So now A.B. is going to move to the number two slot, and so now somebody has to be that third and fourth wide receiver, okay, so they'll get more opportunities.
Rob Gronkowski, Cameron Brate, who caught the Lombardi yesterday, and O.J. Howard, who tore his Achilles tendon. Right. I don't know what it'll be when he comes back, but potentially he's the best of the tight ends. Mm-hmm. What if you add him to the mix and he's 95% of what he used to be? You don't think they have depth at receiver? You don't think they can be just as overwhelming as they were this year?
Yes.
Right? And Ronald Jones is going to be there. I will bet you Fournette will be back.
Yeah.
My little guy, Keyshawn Vaughn from Vanderbilt, had his moments. He'll contribute next year. All of a sudden, that's a deep football team with a lot of young talent on it. So you're going to bet against them next year? I'm not.
I think the only thing that you're not surprised at what they're saying. You're surprised that they said it publicly because everybody has this kind of confidence. The Cowboys had this kind of confidence behind the scenes. Normally, teams have this kind of confidence behind the scenes. They're not because, Skip, when we won in Baltimore, guess what happened the next year? Jamal Lewis, Terry. And so now we're a totally different team.
I got it. But what if you don't get really injured next year? Because the Cowboys in 93, they lost Emmitt to the contract holdout for two games.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, they stayed. Once they got Emmitt back, they stayed healthy all the way.
What happens if they don't make if Emmitt stays out the whole season?
Well, they're done. they're not going to be able to pull that off.
That's not going to be the case there. But, Skip, I believe other teams will get better also. They'll get an understanding, okay, so this is what they are. They're not a just throw the ball deep now. They're more of a Patriots team, get the ball out of Tom's hands quick. So what we got to do, we got to take away his first read. Mm-hmm. We got to jam that first guy, that initial guy.
Yes, everybody will be gunning for them. Everybody will have a new blueprint as to how to slow or shut them down. I got that. But this team is putting it on the line. Devin White yesterday was just saying, we are going to win it next year. Mm-hmm. Well, that's called a guarantee. So they have guaranteed to the rest of the league, we're going to come and win.
Well, I'm going to be here. I'll be here for it.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll be waiting right here.
You'll be waiting. Yeah. No mercy.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hey, Undisputed listeners, I wanted to tell you about our brand new Fox Sports app and website, foxsports.com, reimagined for the modern sports fan. Go ahead, download the new app right now. You don't even have to pause this episode. Every day on the new app and website, you'll see the top stories in sports, plus a rich world of written content, videos, social media, and analytics to give you a 360-degree view of the most important stories of the day. Streaming live TV has never been so easy or elegant. Every Fox Sports game, including all pregame and postgame shows, are just one click away. For the extra invested fan, we also go deep with real-time wagering lines, trending prop bets, win probability, and key player projections. Download the new Fox Sports app or visit www.foxsports.com.
No mercy. Hey, Undisputed listeners, it's Charlotte Wilder here to tell you about my new podcast with Mark Titus called the People Sports Podcast. It comes out every Thursday, and Mark and I take one of the big stories of the week, and then we go off on tangents you never saw coming. This might mean that we start talking about the Dodgers winning the World Series and end up wondering if Knicks fans deserve happiness, or begin with LeBron's greatness and end up drafting our ultimate beer league softball team made up of old athletes. Whatever it is, the only rule of the show is that it has to be fun and funny, because these days we could all use as many laughs as we can get. So check it out wherever you get your podcasts and come down weird sports rabbit holes with us. We can't wait to have you. No mercy.
When I think about Black History Month, I think about people who are doing it now, leading the way. I think about the modern athlete, because I am an athlete. I think about LeBron James, Colin Kaepernick, Maya Moore, Kenny Stills, Anquan Boldin. I think about the Malcolm Jenkins of the world that's walking the halls of Congress to make things better for all people. I think that the modern athlete is redefining what it means to be athlete. The modern athlete is saying, look, we don't have to sit in a box anymore and just play ball. We don't have to shut up and dribble. The modern athlete is leading the second wave of the civil rights movement. I love Black History Month because it gives us the opportunity to highlight people who are doing it now and also pay homage to the people who paved the way before us.
The Texans president, Jamie Rutz, has resigned after more than 20 years with the team. It's the latest for a team that says they won't trade Deshaun Watson, but according to all reports, the QB wants out of Houston. 9 NFL analysts were asked where Deshaun would play next season, and only one said Houston, while the Panthers and the Jets each got multiple votes. So, Shannon, how will this play out?
I still believe it was reaffirmed to me that Deshaun Watson wants out, and he's willing to do what it takes.
By the way, you've been ahead of this story from day one.
Yes, and as our people, you know, John McClain, and I know John, 45 years there, he said, the Texans don't want to trade him, but if they do, it's probably going to be to the Jets, which I've been saying all along. And I'm really listening to Adam Schefter talk about this young man resigning because he was also a part of, he was helping the search firm locate a general manager.
You mean the president who resigned?
Yes.
He's not young anymore. He used to be
when he got hired. Been 20 years.
I mean, he was the original exec. He was hired 2 years before they started.
Right.
Okay.
And it was he was a part the helping the search firm. Mm-hmm. And they keyed in on two guys. Says, okay, these are the two guys. And then Cal McNair usurped everything and is like, nah, we're gonna go in a different direction. He said, well, then I'm out. Because now, and it was reported that he stayed on because they didn't want to make it look like it was more dysfunctional than what it actually is. And when now you see just how much dysfunction is going on. Another reason why Deshaun doesn't want to be there. You see the dysfunctionality that's actually going on at the top. How can you win long-term, short-term, or anything when you have this kind of chaos going on within an organization? The trust has been broken. Now, you're probably going to be able to get a Matthew Stafford-type deal for Deshaun Watson.
I would hope so.
But I'm still saying Deshaun Watson will not play in Houston this season. Mm.
Okay. Let's step back from what is going to be the most fascinating, electrifying NFL offseason ever. Because we got quarterbacks moving all directions.
Yes.
We got Matthew Stafford did an interview today that I just read, and he's talking about how I lost sight of the fact that he did demand the trade. Mm-hmm. And he said that conversation I had with the new Detroit executives and with the ownership was the hardest conversation I ever had in my life. I had to say, I won out.
Right.
Well, he got out.
Right. And remember, Skip, when they said it was mutual. And I say, normally, that's the professional way of saying somebody wants out.
Okay.
We say we've agreed to mutually part ways.
Okay, so Jared Goff has moved, and it looks like Carson Wentz is on the precipice of moving any hour now.
Right.
And everywhere we look, Dak Prescott, is he going or staying? We're not sure. And
Russell Wilson put a little thing out there.
He did.
Aaron Rodgers.
All of a sudden, it's open season. Everybody is saying, you know what, maybe. And it all emanates from that guy down in Tampa Bay because they saw him say, okay, I'll go choose them and watch what I pull off Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's saying, man, maybe I should change.
And plus, what did he do, Skip? Not only did he get there, his first year guy, he's like, hey, Go get me Leonard Fournette. Okay. Go get me AB. Okay. Oh, okay. Go get me Gronk. Okay.
Thank you.
He said, hold on. Yeah. A guy just got there. Mm-hmm. And he got that kind of say, I've been here 10 years. I've been here 12 years. And y'all don't listen to the damn thing I say.
Okay. Which brings us back to Deshaun Watson.
Right.
A great young player.
He is.
He's proven a lot to me. Of the younger players, Brady's like in a universe by himself.
Right.
But he is the second best quarterback in football to Patrick Mahomes on just what I've seen so far in their resumes. Deshaun can win a Super Bowl.
Yes.
Yes. So he is a prized possession that might be on the open market, but we're not sure about that.
Right.
Okay, so what just happened? James Roots just said, I can't take it anymore.
Right.
The longest-term employee, and remember, there was the woman who ran their communications division who was looked at as the best PR executive in pro football.
Right.
She got fired because she was a little too friendly with the media, and I believe she was the only who was running a media, a communications division.
And I think, Skip, either the equipment guy or the trainer got fired because they said he had a close relationship with Deshaun.
Okay. Thank you very much. So now what do we know? The guy who's winning the power struggle is named Jack Easterby. And what did he used to be? For 6 years, he was
Chaplin, wasn't he?
The character coach. I don't know. Maybe it was Colin Chaplin, but the character coach of Bill Belichick's Patriots.
Yes.
So he's a Belichick guy.
Yes.
Nick Caserio, who finally got hired despite what the search firm recommended, minority candidates, he was Belichick's right-hand man in New England.
Right.
Bill O'Brien, who's finally relieved of his duties of both coach and GM, was the offensive coordinator in New England.
Mm-hmm.
So somehow the McNair family is saying, give us the Patriot way. Give us the Patriot.
Right.
No. The Patriot way is Tampa Bay.
Right.
The Patriot way was Tom Brady.
Right.
It's not Nick Caserio.
You're right.
It's not Jack Easterby. It's
Bill
not
O'Brien.
Bill O'Brien. He was a product of Tom Brady.
Right.
And the longer you try to go down that rabbit hole, the more lost you're going to get.
Well, I hope he's better because he's the offensive coordinator at Alabama now. So okay. So he'll do some great things for Alabama.
Well, he might because he's going to have more talent than anybody else has. Right? Okay. So the one good thing that they did, this is just me, but again, he went to my school, played for my school, was David Culley. African-American, they hired him.
Right.
And he was Eric Bieniemy before Eric Bieniemy because he was, for years, Andy Reid's right-hand man.
Mm-hmm.
He was the assistant head coach to Andy Reid.
Right.
By all accounts, he's an NFL lifer.
Right.
He's a solid citizen. He's a good guy. He relates well to players. He has a little bit of a connection from last year's Pro Bowl to Deshaun. They did okay together. Like you say, it's just a Pro Bowl week, so you can't really take it to the bank.
Right.
But That was a good move to me, and it surprised me. But now we've got an organization who keeps publicly saying, we're sorry, we're just not going to trade him.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the one situation that so far the ownership is not caving to the quarterback who wants out.
Right.
And he wants out worse than anybody else has wanted out to me.
Yes.
Like there's no doubt about this one. Right. This is the one where he says, I can't take it anymore.
Right.
I will hold out.
Right.
I assume that's what you're hearing, right?
Mm-hmm.
How long will he hold out? Would he hold out the year? Would they stay entrenched for a year just to prove their point and say, okay, we'll just play somebody else?
Remember what Carson Wentz did? Carson Wentz says, I'm not playing in Cincinnati anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Now you decide what you're going to do. I'm not playing. And they ended
Carson Palmer.
And you remember what he did, Skip? They ended up trading him to the Raiders. I mean, take the stance, whatever that stance is, he wants to get out. Says, okay, well, y'all go play. Y'all do what y'all need to do. Eventually, they'll trade him.
Okay. Is it possible he's going to have to sit on ice for a year? Just
Might
out
have
of
to.
Spite?
Might have
just
to.
Because the blood's getting so bad between those parties?
Because, I'm sure Calvin there has some of his dad. He's not going to let the prisoners run the...
That was the classic...
Yep.
How was it the prisoners run the...
I can't have the inmates running the prison.
They're running the prison. There
it's
you go.
It's the inmates run the asylum.
Yeah, okay. There you go. Well, that was the classic. It was uttered inside closed doors to the other owners, but it got out.
And it got out, and that's one reason why Dwayne Brown is in Seattle blocking for Russell Wilson instead of, because he took offense to it.
He said no. Okay. So to me, it's going to be very interesting if this is the classic cut your nose off to spite your face.
Mm-hmm.
The McNair family would have history just to say, okay, we're just going to make you sit for a year, right?
Yeah, but I got $156 million. I sit it.
Well, he does.
I got it.
And they have him, they could control his rights. I mean, let's see.
They gave him 4 years.
They gave him four more, but
so
by tag, you could go 6 years, right?
So they got the fifth-year option. They got the fifth-year option, and they got four more years. And then you got 2 years of tag. So theoretically, they could hold on to him until he's 33.
Okay. I'm not going to be surprised if this turns into the saddest story in pro football, mm-hmm. where they just ice him for a year. They just say, okay,
right.
go home, sit,
right.
watch. We'll pay you, but we will not play you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Oh. I hope that's not the case. But, yeah, you've mentioned this, Skip. Shannon, you have been all over this from the very beginning, so we'll have to wait and see how this one plays out.
No mercy.
New tracks, new teams, and a new champ. The 2021 NASCAR season starts in just 3 days now with the Great American Race, the Daytona 500, Sunday, only on Fox. I will be tuning in for that. Looking forward to it. But time may be running out for the Cowboys and Dak Prescott to get a deal done. The two sides have not gotten close, and the Cowboys could attempt to franchise tag the QB for a second season in a row. Cowboys Hall of Famer and our guy, Troy Aikman, doesn't believe this would be the best course of action, saying, quote, I'd be really surprised if he's playing under the franchise tag again this year. My guess is if he is, that will be the last we see of Dak Prescott. Orlando Skandrick is still with us. Orlando, a messy situation here. In your opinion, do you think they will get a deal done soon?
I'm so lost on what they're doing here. What more does the kid have to show you? You go, you know, both the Joneses, they go in the media and they say how he's our guy, he's our franchise, he's our future. And then we get to it and they're absolutely going to tag him again because they're going to need to give themselves some chance to work out a deal. Do they work out a deal? At this point, I'm hopeful. I'm not optimistic because the numbers, I mean, the salary cap's going to come in a little higher than they thought. They thought it was going to be 175, what they agreed on during the crisis. It's going to come in at about 185. And I mean, I think 40 million is the starting number. And if it's 40 million with 4 years or it's 40 million with 5 years.
My thing is, you had the whole offseason. What the hell you was doing? When Dak wasn't playing, you should have been crunching the numbers. Either we're bringing him back or we're not. Okay, we're behind the scenes. Obviously, we can't do a deal right now, Skip, during the season because we're under franchise tag. But you can be talking. You can be like, okay, guys, come on now. Let's be realistic. We think, let's just say for the sake of argument, the cap's going to be 175. What do you think about these numbers? Let's just say for the sake of argument, the cap's going to be 185, 190. What do you think about these numbers? Skip, you could have been sitting down trying to get to something. You don't wait until, okay, the window's open for us to actually be negotiating. You can be doing this behind the scenes. I don't know what else Dak needs to do. So because he can't do whatever you want Dak to do, he can't do it between now and the time he put pen to paper. So that's not going to happen. Well, Dak needs to win a Super Bowl. Well, he can't win a Super Bowl in the next 2 months. That's not going to happen. So you're going to have to base it on the medical staff is going to have to say, hey, Jerry, the ankle is A+.
No, it's required two surgeries now. Go ahead.
Which is very normal. Mm-hmm. It's going to be everything is going to be perfect. He's going to be fine. Medical is going to be a big part here, Skip. But I just don't know. I disagree with Troy because I just don't see they've had 3 years to get something done. Oh, and here we are at the end of 3 years talking about, well, this is going to be the year we get it done. I just don't see it happening. I see franchise tag again. Dak gonna be sitting on swole again because he still doesn't have the long-term deal that he sought. Mm-hmm. And so that's gonna be a problem. And I got a feeling, a strong feeling, that Dak Prescott is not going to finish his career as a Dallas Cowboy.
Most people around the league agree with that premise. Back to you, Mr. Skandrick. You know Dak Prescott fairly well. You like him a lot. Born leader, face of franchise. A year ago, would you have given him what they were demanding? Would you have gone up above what Deshaun Watson ended up getting? Would you have gone into the low 40s a year for Dak Prescott for 4 years as opposed to the five that Jerry always wants to tie his quarterback up for? Would you have done that a year ago?
No, but I think I don't. I think that the offer that was made was about 37, 38.
36.
Well, it keeps going up since he didn't sign, because they said it was right at Goff and Wentz, which was about 33 and a half, 34.
So I don't know if I would have went into the mid 40s or the low 40s for 4 years, but for 5 years. But I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to pin it on him. And you keep hearing all these people say, well, you play for the Dallas Cowboys, you get all these endorsements. You play, you get this, you get that. Well, think about this. If these people are able to pay him much more because he pays for the Dallas Cowboys, how much more are they paying the Dallas Cowboys?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how do you mean?
Put that in perspective. If you can pay me more because I'm a Dallas Cowboy, how much more are you making? So I think that when you bottom line it, Skip, they need to decide, do they want Dakota, Rain, Prescott to be a part of their franchise or not? And if you don't, you franchise tag them, you see if you can keep them for another year, and you're going to see them walk out the door. But I think it was a huge mistake here. You went and you handed $50 million guaranteed to Ezekiel Elliott. And, you know, to Dak, as a guy who didn't get that big payday, these guys were very, very close friends. And you went and you paid everybody on that offensive line. But when it came time to pay your quarterback, it was all these excuses. Well, we don't know if he can do this. We don't know if he can do that. And now you put yourself in a rock and a hard spot where you're going to be possibly committing 20% of your salary cap, 22% of your salary cap to one player.
Okay. Do you think that Jerry Jones panicked and overpaid Ezekiel Elliott?
I think that Mr. Jones is getting up there in age, and he's making a lot of these decisions based off of information that he's getting. And I thought they thought Zeke was a generational type talent. And, you know, I thought for the sake of, they thought they were a running team with a play action quarterback that gets out the pocket. You know, he's got a decent arm and he's serviceable. But when you really looked at it and you missed him this year, you said, okay, this guy is the real deal. He may be, his ceiling is maybe higher than Ezekiel Elliott.
Okay. So what do you think Jerry Jones is sitting, thinking right now when he sees the Eagles are willing to eat $34 million in dead cap money to get rid of Carson Wentz, same draft as Dak, obviously, and the Rams got rid of Jared Goff and ate $22 million in dead cap money to get him out from under. So what do you think that's empowering Jerry to think right now?
I mean, you know, they're obviously thinking that they got their numbers. When they got their numbers in their head, they're stuck with their numbers. But they got a pretty good pick. I'm sure they're exploring all options, seeing who picks who, what they can do trade-wise. But they're in a hard, tough spot. The Dallas Cowboys line is aging.
Yes.
They're loaded with skill players.
Yep.
They're going to lose one of their better skill players. Their running back is kind of on the downturn. I don't think Zeke's ever going to get back to the Zeke that we've seen.
Agreed.
He's gained weight. He's got a lot of miles on him. And they need playmakers on the defensive side. So Jerry's going to move to Jerry's own tune, his own accord. And, you know, we can sit up here until we blew in the face and tell you what we should think. And, you know, even you were saying, you said, we talked years ago, you said, I don't know if he's worth it. But now, what do you think? Do you think? Put yourself, let's just say you're Mr. Jones. What would you be thinking?
Skip said.
I wouldn't have burned the bridge. I think there's bad blood because the negotiations went south and sour. And once you get on Jerry's bad side, he doesn't care about winning anymore. It's about his pride. That's what got involved here.
But, the difference is between all these other guys, what David Mugalelo was able to negotiate for Deshaun and what the agents were able to negotiate for Goff and Wentz, is that they had 2 years remaining and they got this. Dak had no years remaining. How are you? So they got 2 years. So you expect me to take exact money as them with 2 years left on their deal as the same as them when I got no years left? I wish I might.
No way.
All right, Orlando, it's been great getting your thoughts all season. It sure has been
way to go.
A fun one for all of us.
No mercy.